Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. All right. We are going to spin, I would say, this is how I would divvy up what we're going to talk about in this segment. We're going to talk about the Chiefs. And there's really only one sequence from the Chiefs game that really needs to be discussed, in my opinion. We'll talk about college football. Missouri has been eliminated from the college football playoff. KU, they were eliminated a long time ago from the college football playoff. K-State's still in it. We'll talk about them. And we'll also talk about Joshua Uche, the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's how we're going to divvy up the next like 20 minutes of the show. All right, let's start with yesterday's Chiefs game. There is one sequence that needs to be pointed out. Let's go through it. This game was going how most Chiefs games go. The Chiefs were winning. They were in control of this game, but it really wasn't by the margin that you would have expected. Now, I thought this, Rob, you thought this, a lot of people thought this, that the Chiefs were going to try to beat the brakes off the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders beat them last year on Christmas Day. It was the puppet incident. I thought the Chiefs were going to put belt to behind against the Las Vegas Raiders. It's not how yesterday was going. Now, the Chiefs were in control of the game. There was never a moment that I thought the Raiders were going to win the game, but the game ended up being a little bit closer than we expected it to be. The Chiefs were up 17-13 in this game. And you know what happened? What has happened a lot over the course of the last season and a half in these regular season games, the Chiefs turn the ball over. Now, I don't need you guys texting in. That wasn't Mahomes' fault. I don't care whose fault it was. But I'm here to give you guys the stats. I'm here to give you guys the numbers. Over the course of the last season and a half, the Chiefs have turned the ball over 39 times. Since the beginning of last season, the Chiefs have a negative 14 turnover differential. The Chiefs turn the ball over a lot. Whether it is a fumble from Carson Steele, whether it is an interception from Patrick Mahomes, or a ball gets tipped, I don't care at this point. The Chiefs just turn the football over. You know that, and it is something that you got to deal with. It's just something you got to deal with. You know. At this point, you know how long it takes your wife to get ready. I know you want her to move faster. She hasn't moved faster in the 17 years that you guys have been married. That's just who she is. The Chiefs in September and October, they just turn the football over. I don't know why. I can't explain it. They then stop turning it over once January gets here, but they have a turnover problem. So they turn the football over. And now you know what? It's one of those critical, pivotal moments in the game. The Chiefs are up 17-13. The Raiders have first and goal from the 3-yard line. Now, I'm not saying that there is a good way to attack the Chiefs defense because no one has done it right so far this season. But you want to know what I know is the worst thing that you can do against Kansas City's defense? It is try to run the ball up the middle with Alexander Mattison. He had 14 carries yesterday for 15 yards. The Raiders can't run the ball well against regular teams. They ran the ball 3 consecutive times up the middle against the Chiefs defense. The first one went for 2 yards. It is now 2nd and goal from the 1. You know what? If you can have 2-yard run, you will have the lead late in the third quarter against the Chiefs. Rob, they ran it again. They got 0 yards. All right, it's 3rd and goal from the 1-yard line. You are now faced with a decision. They ran the ball again. This time, they got -2 yards. They are in the exact same spot that this drive started, and they have now wasted 3 downs. 3 downs. They have gained 0 yards. All right, they are now faced with a decision. Are you going to kick the field goal, or are you going to go for it? Now, they did exactly what I would have done. There's no reason to be down. You're already down 4 to the Chiefs. I don't know what being down 1 does against the Kansas City Chiefs. We got 4th and goal from the 3-yard line. Let's go for it. What do we have to lose? We're 2-5. They go for it. It's a sack. The Chiefs take over the ball. It is now 17-13. The Raiders, they had their best chance to win the game, or at least make the game interesting and competitive right there. Because you know how the rest of the game goes. The Chiefs then get activated. The Chiefs then go on a 19-play, 87-yard drive that takes up 9 minutes and 43 seconds. That's the end of the game there. I've seen this movie before way too many times. The Raiders, then they get the ball again. They fumble after the Patrick Mahomes interception. The next 6 plays for the Raiders went 2 yards. They had a turnover on down and a fumble. Let's be honest about who the Chiefs are and who they're not. The Chiefs offense, more times than not, puts the defense in some hairy situations. But the defense always figures it out. The best analogy I can give you guys, and some of you have kids, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you had your kid tell you that they have a assignment due at like 10:15 at night? And now you got to scramble and you got to try to figure it out to make sure that they get a passing grade. That is what the Chiefs offense does to the defense at least once a game. They will have a weird red zone situation. They will have a weird turnover. Something odd will happen. And then the defense will be like, all right, we'll figure it out. 1st and goal from the 3. Nope, no thing. We're not going to let them score here. We'll give you guys the ball back, and then you guys do what you're supposed to do. And that's what happened yesterday. So I don't really see too many other things from this game. Travis Kelce was very good yesterday. Xavier Worthy caught a touchdown yesterday. Kareem Hunt continues to be a rock and seems to score every single week. Yesterday was a Chiefs game. It's not a Chiefs game that we will go back on and talk a whole lot about. It was kind of standard fare. Chiefs kind of did their thing. Eventually, when they got tired of keeping the game close, they made sure it wasn't close anymore, and they were up 27-13 with less than 5 minutes to go in the game. Now, I know the Raiders got the backdoor cover at the end, but we told you guys to stay away from the spread in this one because it was a trap set by Vegas. I didn't touch it, and I advise you not to touch it. But yesterday, Rob, it was the most standard Chiefs game that there could be. It was. They played okay for most of the game. Their defense was phenomenal when they needed to be. The offense then woke up, made a couple of plays. They scored 10 unanswered there at the end. They won the game comfortably. They were never in any danger of losing yesterday's game. So, Rob, unless you have any thoughts from the game, we don't have to spend really any more time talking about the Las Vegas Raiders than we have to. I don't really want to talk that much about the Las Vegas Raiders. They are not a good team. They are going to potentially have the #1 overall pick. And the Chiefs did to bad teams what they're supposed to do. They didn't really give them much hope or much opportunity of winning yesterday's game.
I mean, I was watching the game with my wife, and that play happened, the stop. And I'm like, oh, Chiefs win. The game was still in doubt. It was 17-13 in the 3rd quarter. That is still, by all metrics, a football game.
Yeah, but we know better.
We all knew.
Yeah, we know better.
Before the 9-minute drive, before the Chiefs got the ball, right before commercial, CBS shows this highlight. And it's Mahomes running back on the field all excited because the defense got the stop.
Yeah, we knew.
In that moment, I'm like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, we knew.
I mean, it is what it is.
No, we knew. I mean, that's the game at Allen Fieldhouse when TCU misses 2 wide open 3s and misses 2 layups. You had your chance to win. You missed your opportunity. You missed your window to win. Now KU is about to happen, and you're about to go home a loser. I've seen that story too many times. I've seen this story too many times. That is what the Chiefs did yesterday. All right, let's talk about Joshua Uche, who is now the newest member of the Chiefs. So he has played. This is now his 5th year in the National Football League. He has 21 and a half sacks in his career. He got 11 and a half of those sacks in one season back in 2022, and he has been just okay the rest of the way. Now, the Chiefs didn't give up that much to acquire him. He is going to make $722,000 the rest of the year, which is a lot in earthling dollars, not a lot in NFL dollars. And the Chiefs gave up a, not next year's sixth round pick, they gave up a 2026 sixth round pick. So it is, quite honestly, one of the smallest level of compensation that you can give up for a player. Like, we talk about, oh, they traded this guy for 80 cents on the dollar or 85 cents on the dollar. The Chiefs got Joshua Uche today, a guy who has had double-digit sacks in his career. They got him today for 15 cents. Got him for 15 cents. Maybe it works out. Maybe Joshua Uche goes out there and has six sacks the rest of the year. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Joshua Uche does absolutely nothing for the Kansas City Chiefs. But for 15 cents, I just don't know how mad you can be if things don't work out. This is a really, really good move. You know who the Chiefs have become? The Chiefs have become the Patriots. You guys remember for 15 or 20 years, the Patriots would make these kinds of moves for these lower level players, and we just knew it was going to work out. The Patriots would get Jamie Collins, and you just knew it's going to work. The Patriots would get Kyle Van Noy, and you just knew that it was going to work. That is what they do. They do these kinds of moves. And the Chiefs, they have become that team. That the Chiefs, they get the benefit of the doubt. You can dream big about this acquisition because the Chiefs are the team that made this acquisition. If this was the Saints that made this move, why would you even worry about it? It's probably not going to work out. But you put that guy in this defense, and you are not asking him to be your best pass rusher. You are not asking him to be your second best pass rusher. You are asking him to be your third or fourth guy, to be a rotational piece, to come in, keep your head down, work hard, try to have a good rest of your season, and try to earn another contract next year to play with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a great setup. That is a great gig if you can get it. So Bill Belichick, you guys remember him. He used to coach the Patriots. He also made all of their player personnel moves. He was on the Pat McAfee show earlier. Here's what he said about the Chiefs going to get Joshua Uche.
I mean, look, Pat, how many players in the sixth round in 25 do you think are really going to help the Kansas City Chiefs win? I don't know. I wouldn't say there's probably a long list of them. Could Uche help him win this year? Absolutely. How many players in the fifth round next year are going to help Kansas City win? I don't know. Be lucky if the guy makes the team. I mean, the Chiefs have a pretty good team. Can Hopkins help him win? Sure. Like, those trades don't really amount to much of anything in the big picture. If you want a fifth back, I'm sure they can move back in the first or second round and get a fifth, or probably get five or six of them if they really want fifth round picks. But I think what they need are players that will impact the game and help them, you know, address their depth in different areas. And I think they've done a great job of that.
You know what I would consider Josh Uche to be? I would consider him to be a long parlay. For those of you that gamble, you'll understand this analogy. Rob, have you ever hit on like a plus 5,000 before, or like a plus 6,000 before? You're not going to hit that very often, but for those of you that have gambled before, you, at some point, you just hit one of those, right? It's the right day. You pick the right two or three guys to score a touchdown, and you have been able to turn $3 into $150. You're not going to do that consistently. That's not something that you should count on, but every once in a while, once or twice a season, you are going to be able to have the right combination of things, and you are going to be able to turn a small amount of money into a decent amount of money by betting big, so to speak. That's what these kind of moves are. History suggests that you are probably going to lose your $3. You were taking a very low percentage bet, but low percentage bets hit all the time. History tells you that if you trade a future sixth round pick for a player who hasn't really been good consistently in his career, it's probably not going to work. But you know what, man? If you keep taking the Kadarius Toney types, you keep taking the Damian Lees, you keep taking the Joshua Uches or Emmanuel Ogba, eventually you strike gold. Eventually you hit. Emmanuel Ogba was a good player for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think there's a chance that Josh Uche in this system, in this scheme, could end up being a pretty productive player. Again, you're not asking him to do a whole lot. We love basketball analogies on this show. All you're asking him to do is give you energy buckets and play defense. That's all you're asking him to do. You're not asking him to go out there and be your sole pass rusher or play opposite of George Karlaftis. That's not what you're asking him to do. You're asking him to come in, play some good defense, knock down a couple of shots, and be a good teammate. That's it. You get to make $800,000. You were playing on the Patriots for your entire career in a post-Brady world. You've never had a chance at success. You got a chance to play in the postseason. So come in here, learn the playbook, be a good teammate, be willing to work, be hungry, and you got a chance to play in meaningful games. They've done this before. Did anybody know who Mike Pinnell was pre-Kansas City Chiefs? He was kind of a journeyman guy, right? Kind of bounced around a little bit. Played for the Falcons, played for the Colts. Nobody knew who Mike Pinnell was. Mike Pinnell did exactly what I just talked about. He's won 3 Super Bowls. That's all you got to be. Come in here and be Mike Pinnell. We've done this before. The same way we talk about at wide receiver, where they've done that with Juju Smith-Schuster, and that is a selling point to somebody like Hollywood Brown when he's looking to sign. They have had success at these kinds of dice rolls. They've missed on players. Everybody misses on players. But if you can sign a guy for $800,000, a guy who was a second-round pick, a guy who played at a major school, a guy who's had success in this league, is there any good football left in that player? And if there is some left, you know who will find it? Spags will. There aren't many players that have left this defense that weren't that good and then joined another team and reached their full potential. If he's still a good NFL player, we'll find out in the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. You'll know if he can play. All you're asking him to do is get to the quarterback. You're not asking him to cover. You're not asking him to, no, get to the quarterback. See ball, hit ball. Very, very easy. That's all you're asking him to do. So earlier today, we had on Alex Barth. He covers the New England Patriots. Here it is. We asked him about Uche and what kind of addition he would be for a team that's in contention.
I think it's a great trade. One, because like you said, he's not going to be a focal point, right? Chris Jones, all those other guys up front, he's going to be able to come in, play situationally, and go try to win one-on-one. On top of that, so Uche was actually on an expiring contract last year, and it didn't seem like he'd be back. And a lot of people thought they'd move him last year, and the reports were that they could get an early day 3 pick for him at that time. They didn't end up moving him. He kind of falls off in the second half of the season. They bring him back this year on a 1-year prove-it deal, and he's failed to live up to that. But you're talking about they went from potentially getting a 4th or 5th round pick for him to a future 6. So I think the Chiefs get a player that will help them, and they probably didn't pay as much as they would have for a similar player a year ago at the same time.
So that is Alex Barth covering the New England Patriots. That is his thoughts on Joshua Uche. I would expect Joshua Uche to play this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would expect him to be in the rotation. Mike Dana didn't play in the last Chiefs game, so we'll see what his health is. Charles Omenihu is still right around the corner in theory. I think there's a lot of positives about this move, this trade that they have made. All right, Rob, let's talk a little bit of college football here. Let's talk about my team. Let's talk about your team. Let's talk about K-State. Why don't we make that the hits?
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Karen, before we get to college football, you know the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates can earn salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Let's start with the only team that won this weekend, the only team living up to expectations, the only team that has not disappointed their fan base. Carrington, Kansas State got the win in the Sunflower Showdown. And now looking at their schedule, they're basically one game away, one massive November night against the Iowa State Cyclones from playing in Arlington yet again under Chris Klieman.
Have you noticed it that, I guess maybe you could argue it with KU, but there's only one team that's also improving and getting better over the course of the season, and that's K-State as well. So to go through their schedule, they have on the road against Houston. All you need to know about Houston is they got blown out by KU. Houston is terrible. They have Arizona State at home. They have Cincinnati at home. And then they have Armageddon, the final game of the season. They go on the road to play Iowa State. If we sat here, Rob, and we really made a list of all the teams that still realistically have a chance to win the national championship and can compete for it, K-State is on that list. Now, I don't think that K-State is going to win the national championship game. You don't have to win the national championship game. You know what everybody wants to be a part of? The first 12-team college football playoff. And K-State has a chance to be one of the top 4 seeds in that playoff by simply winning the Big 12. So take care of business. Houston, you are better than them. Arizona State and Cincinnati. If you lose to Arizona State and Cincinnati at home, you don't deserve the opportunity to go to the college football playoff. Can you win the games you're supposed to win and go on the road and steal a game in Ames, Iowa? It is all right there for K-State. I think K-State is the second best team in the Big 12. I think that BYU is the best team in the league, and I think K-State is second. I think K-State's better than Iowa State, and I think we're going to find that out in a month.
Number two.
Pivoting now to Missouri, Carrington. They lost their quarterback in their matchup with Bama and promptly lost any hope after that. Drew Pine was just... he wasn't good enough on Saturday. But
not good enough for Saturday. I'm questioning how is the kid a D1 quarterback? He stinks.
With the loss, Missouri fans have kind of resigned themselves to the fact that this is not going to be the season that they once thought. Playoffs are probably out of the picture. As a Missouri fan, how do you feel about MIZ after a loss in Tuscaloosa?
This is Eli Drinkwitz's fifth year as the head coach of Missouri. And he is yet to recruit or accept a transfer from a quarterback that could actually help Missouri win. Brady Cook committed to Barry Odom's Missouri Tigers. 5 years, five recruiting cycles. They don't have one. Now, I know it's unfortunate that Sam Horn got hurt and he had Tommy John surgery from playing baseball. That was their only hope? If something happened to Brady Cook, was Sam Horn, who had never contributed in college football? No, they took a gamble on this Drew Pine kid, and the kid's terrible. I'm sorry, he's bad. I usually wouldn't be this harsh and critical of a college kid, but Drew Pine is probably making a decent amount of money to be playing football at the University of Missouri. And I'm telling you right now, whoever his NIL sponsor is, they need a refund immediately. That was a poor allocation of funds. Their offense didn't give them any chance to win on Saturday. Their defense held up against Alabama for as long as you can expect for a team that couldn't score. You're not going on the road and beating Alabama if you can't score. You're not beating anybody if you go on the road and can't score. This game was, it was 13-0 at halftime, and their offense had 120 total yards in the first half of the game. Their offense has completely let them down. Missouri has regressed in every single aspect of football. There is no part of playing football that Missouri is better at in 2024 than they were in 2023. That is a direct reflection of coaching.
Number three.
Speaking of disappointments, let's talk about the Kansas Jayhawks, who have been a disappointment basically since week two, and it feels like it's the same story every week. Another one possession loss, another game you felt like they have a chance, it's right there, and they quite literally fumbled away the chance. Carrington, Kansas came into the season with massive expectations, but has continued to be nothing more than a team that shoots themselves in the foot. Should fans be upset at what's happened, and do they need to fire someone, anyone, just to give them a feeling that there is still belief in this coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to happen. That's just the way that this works. I mean, I've watched probably four KU games so far this season, and their biggest problem to me just seems very obvious. It's the quarterback position and the amount of turnovers that they have. I was locked in to Saturday's game. I had the LSU Texas A&M game on the big screen, and then I had KU and K-State. I was locked into the Sunflower Showdown. Jalen Daniels throws an interception over the middle of the field. And at the end, when KU was driving a little bit, you got to get down. His turnovers have been the biggest problem. It's hard to overturn losing the turnover differential. Not everybody is Kansas City. Kansas City is negative in the turnover differential this year. They were negative 11 last year and won the Super Bowl. You are not the Chiefs. You cannot lose the turnover differential and expect to beat good football teams, especially not on the road. You have no chance of winning if you're KU in that scenario. Now the beat goes on. I mean, this streak for KU, it can drive now. 16 years, Rob. How old are you? 32? Half your life. You know what? There are some things in Kansas City that come around every single year. The Plaza Art Fair comes around every single year. The Big 12 tournament, we have been very fortunate, comes around every single year. KU losing to Kansas State in football comes around every year. It is a yearly tradition, is what it is. It's a yearly tradition. They had a chance to. They've had a chance to win the last two games. Honestly, they had a chance to win last year and this year, and they just in the final 5 minutes. It is why K-State is K-State, and why they've been the most consistent college football program this side of Oklahoma in this area in the last 25 years or so. It is also why KU just, they cannot beat that team. I'm sorry, they can't beat them. They're not going to beat them next year. In the new stadium, you know, next year, they really going to convince themselves next year. In the booth, it's all new and done up. And Avery Johnson going to go in there. Oh, my goodness, KU. Just a disappointing effort from all of you boys. Just very disappointing. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about Joshua Uche, the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll also talk about there are three teams that I am ready to go ahead and call their fate in the AFC. I'll tell you who they are. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What makes a good real estate agent?
All right, welcome back.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. All right, let's do this. Let's say goodbye to a couple of teams in the AFC and then we'll get back to Joshua Uche. All right. Now, this is a little bit different because I am not saying goodbye to this team as a playoff team. I'm saying goodbye to them as a one seed. Now, it wasn't that long ago. In fact, it was on Thursday that Mike Greenberg went on Get Up and said that when Derrick Henry is healthy, that the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. Well, the Ravens lost to the Chiefs. All right, that's, you know. Hey, you lose on the road to Kansas City. There's no shame in that. You don't got to hang your head about that loss. All right, they lost to the Raiders. They also lost to Cleveland. They are not the best team in the AFC. So you know what I am willing to do? I am willing to go ahead and call it. The Ravens have no chance at the one seed. It's over. The one seed conversation with the Ravens is over. So the Ravens need to get ready because they are going to be going on the road to Kansas City. They're going to be going on the road for the AFC Championship game. Maybe they make it back to that game. But the bye week, nope, that conversation's over. And they're also going to have to go on the road. And you know who they can thank for it. They can thank Cleveland and Las Vegas for that. So let's go ahead and put that one seed conversation up when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. All right, a couple more teams that I would like to bury. I want the New York Jets as far away from us as humanly possible. I'm serious. I don't want to watch the Jets anymore. I don't want to talk about the Jets anymore. I don't want them around us. They have lost five consecutive games. Five. After this Thursday night football game against Houston, in which they are going to lose again, I don't want the Jets around us anymore. You know who the Jets are? They are the Raiders. They're the East Time Zone Raiders. They're 2-6. They have a diva crybaby quarterback that, I'm sorry, you're not going to get your way. I said this in the offseason. Rob, you were here. I never was on board with the New York Jets. And if your savior is a 40-year-old quarterback, you know what? You're probably not going to be saved. So we can go ahead and put another team, go ahead and end their season. They're playing for draft positioning, and they should be sellers at the deadline, the New York Jets. That is a team that is going nowhere and nowhere fast. There's nobody else to fire. You fired your head coach. You changed this person. You changed this person. You added this piece. Bro, you lost to the, you got outscored by the Patriots. How? You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got Breece Hall. I love Braylon Allen, a very talented backup running back. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Devontae Adams. The Patriots outscored you, and with their backup quarterback? Embarrassing. Embarrassing. You scored 15 points on the Steelers last week. You're embarrassing. So the Jets, I'm serious. I don't want the Jets around us anymore. After this Thursday game on Amazon, let's go ahead and get them flexed out of Sunday Night Football. They got the Colts coming up in a couple of weeks on Sunday Night Football. Let's give that to a more deserving team. Let's give that to Minnesota. Let's give that to the Commanders. Let's give that spot to the Bears. Let's give it to literally anybody other than the Jets. I'm ready to go ahead and throw dirt on Cincinnati too. Now, maybe this comes from the fact that I bet on Cincinnati yesterday. I talked myself into it. Man, they're at home. They haven't won a home game yet. If they win this game, they'll get back to 500, man. The Bengals still got a shot. People called the. I was doing all the things that you do when you're about to get a wrong pick. They got beat 37-17 by the Eagles. Eagles aren't even that good. No. It's Halloween. And the Bengals' three wins are Carolina, the Giants, and the Deshaun Watson Cleveland Browns. Nah, man. They're cooked. They're done. You guys can still hold on to the Cincinnati belief. I'm tired of doing this. There's no team in the NFL we make more excuses for than Cincinnati. Oh, man, you know they get off to a slow start. It's early in the season. It ain't early in the season anymore. We're at the midway point. At what point are you just are what your record is? And they are a 3-5 football team that had they have lost to every single team they have played that has a pulse. And they even lost to a team that doesn't have a pulse in New England. They played Kansas City. They lost. They played Washington. They lost. They played Baltimore. They lost. They played Philadelphia. They lost. Sure, they'll probably beat the Raiders at home this week. The Raiders stink. They got to beat Baltimore. They got to beat the Chargers. They got to beat Pittsburgh. And no, they're not making the postseason. So, Rob, I'm willing to go ahead. I'm going to throw a little bit of dirt on the Ravens' one seed chances. Let's go ahead and get them out of here. They're not competing for the one seed. They've got three seed energy written all over them. You know what they got? This is who the Ravens have. The Ravens have a home game against the Broncos in round one energy, and then they go on the road and lose in the second round of Buffalo. You can see it loading up right now for the Baltimore Ravens and how their season's going to go. And I'm done talking about the Bengals and I'm done talking about the Jets. We will not talk about the Bengals or the Jets anymore until they get to 500 on this show. I'm willing to make that decree right now.
Let's talk about the Jets for 1 minute. I know that you just said we're not talking about the Jets. Aren't they a quintessential example of something we've talked about on the show? When you make the big trade to go get your quarterback, it is backfiring more often than not in the modern NFL.
You're right.
Aaron Rodgers has not worked. Has not worked a little bit. In Denver, Russell Wilson did not work. It did not work a little bit. We can go through. I don't think Derek Carr is working in New Orleans. Like, it is failure after failure after failure. If you are chasing this shortcut that worked once, Tom Brady. The Tom Brady shortcut worked. But outside of maybe the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, when you have tried this shortcut, it fails. And the Jets were the most recent person to try it. They went all in on Aaron Rodgers, not just the compensation. They then didn't worry about him not coming to minicamp. What are you going to do, buddy? You got a vacation, so it goes. They brought in Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. They traded assets for Devontae Adams. Like, they were doing everything. It wouldn't stun me if there were rumors about to sign Jordy Nelson, because they are doing everything they can to make Aaron Rodgers happy. You know,
bringing back Jordy Nelson is crazy.
It's blowing up right in their face.
Bring back Jordy Nelson. They might as well just bring back the whole gang. They might as well bring back Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and James Jones and Greg Jennings. Let's just make this a Packers party and we're going to do this thing. Let's bring back the whole crew. Let me play one more cut for you guys. This was Alex Barth. He covers the New England Patriots. So Josh Uche, the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs, in 2022, he was a beast. He had 11.5 sacks. What was so good in 2022 and why hasn't he been able to replicate that success?
So it's a couple things. You know, he's been banged up, which is one part of it. At least he was last year. He also, you know, down the stretch in 2022, at the start of that season, Matthew Judon was playing incredibly high-level football. And around the midway point, teams started adjusting to basically taking Matthew Judon away, and that allowed Josh Uche to get a number of one-on-ones. He was able to win those with regularity, and yeah, like you said, 11.5 sacks in 2022. He has 20.5 for his career. So it was really all the second half of that season. He went on a tear. He hasn't been able to replicate that. Matthew Judon's out most of last year. They traded before this season. So as the Patriots' top pass rusher, he hasn't been effective. As a complimentary pass rusher, he's been very good, but we haven't seen that version of him in a couple of years.
We'll see if the Chiefs are still going to be active at the deadline. I would imagine that they are. This Uche move, it just doesn't move the needle enough. And I mean that is, it doesn't move the needle. Like, you didn't go trade for Deontay Johnson, then now you can sit back and say, we're done. No, that's not where they are. They traded a 2026 sixth round pick, and they gave up $800,000 in cap space. So you can still go make a move if you need to, and we'll see if the Chiefs end up doing that. Coming up, today is a special day in sports. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. I want to tell you guys a couple of things, and then we'll talk about sports. Rob, I decided on what couch I was going to get. You know that last week I was going back and forth about what couch I was going to get. I've officially made a decision. Now, something happened to me this weekend that I was not expecting. I don't know if I can throw the old couch out, man. I don't know if I can do it. You probably had plenty of cars, right? But there's something different about the first car that you get, right? There's something different about it. This couch has been with me through thick and thin. So many great memories, so many laughs, so many amazing times. You know how many Missouri games have been played on that couch? You know how many movies have been watched? You know how many 325 naps after a noon Chiefs game I've had on that couch? Now you're telling me to throw all those memories away? I got to do it today, though. Nebraska Furniture Mart, they're dropping off the new couch tomorrow morning. I'm hurt, man. I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. I'm hurting. Do you remember your first couch? I'm sure you do. There's some things you always remember your first. You remember your first car. You remember your first kiss. This is my first couch, and I'm now getting rid of it. I've been very weirdly nostalgic about the couch over the last couple of days. Yesterday, what a send-off for the couch. Were you watching Red Zone yesterday?
I did have Red Zone, at least for the noon games.
Oh, my goodness. Red Zone from about 2:45 up until the Chiefs game was incredible yesterday. Was incredible. I had to stand up. I had to salute the couch. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for the journey. If that's the way that I'm sending the couch off with the Chiefs win and some Red Zone, you know what, man? I'm happy. You remember your first couch, man?
I mean, yeah, I don't wax about it as poetically as you're waxing about your first couch. I mean, it was fine. I got it in college. It got me through college. Like, it did the trick. The couch.
You know, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. If you're not going to join this nostalgic trip with me, don't ruin
couch?
It for me.
On a couch? You're nostalgic about a couch?
I really was.
My first car, I was hurt to sell my first car.
Okay, see, it's the same concept.
I let my first car go, and it hurt me.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it didn't have any value.
I'm not going to lie. Letting go of the couch is harder than letting it go of the first car. The first car, I drove that thing into the ground. It was time. I knew it was time. This couch still's got some good life left in it. It's still got some games left in it. It's at least got one more NBA dunk contest in it. It's got one more left. I'm throwing it out too early.
No, you got to let it go. It doesn't fit the new decor. New Casa de Carrington has been finally updated.
No, no, it was
you rocking 2012 styles and fashions, and that's not the path
yeah,
anymore.
No, it was It was time. Really quickly, did you guys know that today is a sports equinox? So all of the major sports play today. Rob, they're still having MLS soccer?
Playoffs.
Come on now.
Playoffs.
Bro. They haven't finished the soccer season?
They haven't finished the baseball season. They both start at the same time.
When is soccer over?
In like a couple weeks. This is the first round of the playoffs. This is round one. This is the wild card.
Oh my goodness. Hey man, soccer, y'all gotta figure out a different schedule, man. This schedule. So today there is football. There's Monday Night Football. There is a World Series game.
Don't watch the football.
I do not plan on watching any of it. I'm not even placing a bet on this game. I'm just, you know what? No, I'm not watching it. So there is football today. There's NBA on. There's NHL. There's MLS. There's World Series. All of the sports are on the same day. This is only the 31st time in history that all of this has happened on the same day. This is the 31st sports equinox that they have called it. I will be watching a little bit of basketball today. I'll watch a little bit of NBA. I will watch the World Series to see if the Yankees can win a game and make this series interesting. Have we heard about Shohei? Is Shohei going to play today?
I saw Shohei was in the lineup tonight.
Oh, goodness. That man dislocated his shoulder. He's going to come back to playing baseball 2 days later? That's what he did, right? He dislocated his shoulder.
Only got a couple games left.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, I think this was June he'd be on the IL, but I think it's different now.
No, of course. What is it? Probably still going to hit a home run today in that bandbox. You know he's going to hit a home run today. I am excited about the sports equinox today. Last thing before we get out of here. You know what? I'm going to implement this. Joshua Briscoe is on a one-week suspension. We're going to have our first ever drive suspension. Joshua Briscoe had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to come on this show and say that Kit Kat is the best chocolate candy out? It's the best chocolate. Kit Kat, I don't even know if it's making the lineup. Kit Kats are better than Snickers, folks. Kit Kats are better than Snickers. Kit Kats are better than Reese's Cups. Better than Reese's Pieces. Kit Kats are better than Twix. Kit Kat is not a starting five candy. It really isn't. It's not a starting five candy. It's not. I can't believe that was said on this show. And we got to get back to having standards on this show. That's what it is. I've gotten lax. In my old age, I've gotten lax. We got to get back to it. Joshua Briscoe, 1 week suspension. 1 week. Any coming up later today? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, the Josh Briscoe show.
15-minute suspension later today. He can't start until 7:15. Or he's got to sign off at 7:45. One of the two. All right. Tomorrow, we are exactly 1 week away from the NFL trade deadline. We got some Monday Night Football to react to. We got some...
We got a lot of reaction to the Steelers and Giants.
Can't wait. Steelers might win the Super Bowl. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.